What's good, everybody? It's your man, the myth, the legend, the voice, bringing you this week's timeout. This is where we take a step back and assess the game of life, looking to God for strategies to bring us true success. This week's thought is Stats Part 3, What It Does. Why does LeBron James have a legitimate claim of being the GOAT of the NBA? It's because he has more points than anyone else in the history of the league. He also has led three different franchises to an NBA championship victory. No one else has done that, not led them. Why do people say that Jordan is a GOAT, though? Well, it's because unlike LeBron, he's never lost an NBA championship series. Jordan went six times, won all six. LeBron has been there, what, maybe 10 times, won four? Jordan has also been a defensive stopper, making the all-defensive team, first team all-defensive for the league nine different times, as well as winning Defensive Player of the Year honors. Some believe you can't be the GOAT when you only play on one side of the court. These arguments can be made and validated by stats. That's because they quantify and measure behaviors. So, as we use the theme of stats to describe love, we have to determine what it is and what it is not. And those are things that we covered in parts one and two. Now we'll look at what it does. It does rejoice in truth. And this truth is not an individual truth. See, truth is not relative, as some may believe, but truth is reality. It's the genuine article. Think about buying some shoes on the marketplace of GOAT. They make sure that those shoes are verified before they send them to you. You know you have the real article because it is the truth. Again, same with the Lord. He rejoices in truth. Not your personal truth, that's your experience. But your experience may not be real. John 17:7 says, "Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth." So it rejoices in truth. This truth that makes you holy. This truth that is his word. What is his word? Well, he is his word. We know that in John 1:1, where it says, "In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God." And what defines who God is? Well, love defines God. 1 John 4:8 tells us that God is love. So it rejoices in the truth, which the truth speaks of his word, which he is his word, which brings us right back around to love. And this truth is universally what is true in any matter under consideration, as opposed to what's feigned and fictitious and false. John 14:6 says, "I am he in whom the truth is summed up and impersonated." So if you want to know the truth, you got to know Jesus. And when the truth wins, when God's way is victorious over the world, it rejoices. It's happy. It celebrates. Love never gives up, but instead it bears all things. And that's what it says in the King James Version of this passage. It stands the test of time. You know, some things, you know, they sound real good, and they may be around for, you know, a little while and do different things. But if it's really real, it'll stand the test of time. It also never loses faith. So it believes all things that God says. It holds on for hope because this is what love does. It's not fair weather. It's not sometime. It's hopeful. And to hope means actively waiting for God's fulfillment about the faith that he has imbirthed through the power of his love. See, faith is expressing itself in love. And to hope is to hold fast to his word, to have faith. Love endures all things. It doesn't give up regardless of how difficult things may be. All of these things make up what love is. So here's the play. Love celebrates that truth, which is his word, and that his word, his love, wins. It's not a punk giving up the first sign of opposition, but it is steadfast. If someone presents something that glorifies facades and fakeness, and it's sometime, that's not love, which means that's not God. It's your man, the myth, the legend, the voice with this week's time out. All right, time to get back in the game of life. Until next week, ready, break.